from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's a cold, comfy night here in the studio, and it's good to see you. I'm Ben Foose, the double-minded man. You don't think that's going to catch on, is that what you're saying?
No, it will never catch on.
I'm kind of hoping not.
You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. We are, it's jam-packed full of a show. You ever seen those space bags where they hook up the vacuum and they suck the air out for so you can get more storage? Ain't happening. Ain't nowhere in this bag, buddy. I mean, this show was jam-packed full of stuff. We have in studio Chris Akers. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Yeah, everybody says that. So Chris Akers, he's gonna provide.
I'm also freezing. I got lost a little bit. I don't know how you do that in Iowa, but I managed to do it.
This is the kind of honesty I'm talking about. Yeah. By the way, it stinks in here, and I can't find the place. So Chris Akers is kind enough to stop in and share his musical talent with us. And so he's going to be playing a couple tunes for us. We have rounds of Pope-style advice going around. I'm going to talk a little bit about, the trepidatious stepping towards biblical oil use. I sat in a class earlier today that kind of put the freak out to me, and so we'll talk about a little bit of that. And then there's a couple articles we might be talking about. The Huffington Post put out 27 truths about life, and absolute truths that everyone should look at. And I feel like most, if not all of them, are not true, and so we might be stepping through those a little bit. And Ben, you had one thing?
Yeah, I got an article, and this kind of goes along with my Pope-style advice. But the question is, there's an article on the Gospel Coalition blog, and it was titled, "Has Authenticity Trumped Holiness?" And I'll give you the paragraph that made me, I guess, think about this particular article. And here's a quote. It says, "There's this idea that to live out of conformity with how I feel is hypocrisy, but that's a wrong definition of hypocrisy. To live out of conformity to what I believe is hypocrisy. To live in conformity with what I believe in spite of what I feel isn't hypocrisy, it's integrity." And so I think the broad thought is that we spend a lot of time talking about how messy we are, like how much God has saved us from. And I wonder, it's a correct thought, right? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I do wonder if that we spend a lot more time, identifying and maybe making ourselves feel better because we all agree that we live messy lives. As opposed to actually, reacting to things that God asked us to do. So anyway, that's kind of the vein of stuff that I want to talk about, and my Pope-style advice kind of falls into that.
Okay, cool. Also, tail end of the show, we're looking at, we might try to hook up with some Dear Life from the Past, where there's some people out there that are just having a rough time and need help. They need advice. And sometimes the world doesn't offer the best of advice, and so they come here. I don't know if that's a good alternative, but that's the one we're offering. So to kick off the show, actually, we're going to hear a little bit from Chris Akers. Now, Chris, you have a tune you want to play for us called Look in Your Eyes. What's that about?
Sure do. So Look in Your Eyes is the latest song I've written. I'm going to be putting it online here in about 2 days. Great working with my sister. She's making artwork for it, so it's a nice family affair. But it's a song that was written just kind of in the perspective of, you know what, I see so many blessings from the Lord in my life, every day. Just the fact that I'm in Iowa, honestly, is the coolest story. I just love it. But there are days when you just feel kind of down or empty, and those are the days when sometimes I wish I could see God. I wish I could look in his eyes, so it's a kind of a song that speaks to that, the sense of that distance that we have right now. Even though he's right here, even though he's in my heart, even though he's in my mind, it would be great, And I look forward to that day.
Yeah, just something tangible, something to hit right to the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you what. Let's have a listen to it.
Okay.
You're listening to Chris Akers on Life from the Path, and we're listening to Look in Your Eyes.
Silhouette, catch my breath and wish it was you. smell the void upon the air that doesn't smell like your perfume. Oh, these frozen fingertips are relics of the fire they caress. These cracked and drying lips are irrelevant apart from your kiss. But I know you're living in my heart and in my mind. But I just wanna look in your eyes. I just wanna look in your eyes. And I hate the weight of all this distance and this time. When I just wanna look in your eyes. I just wanna look in your eyes. Oh, 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 oh. God, I knew you that day. Trying to numb the broken-hearted man who thought you would stay. And I feel a thorn within me twisting on the curse of my words. Tasting the joy against the bitterness I know I deserved. Cause I know that I deserved it, yeah. I know you're living in my heart and in my mind. But I just wanna look in your eyes. I just wanna look in your eyes. I hate the weight of all this distance and this time. When I just wanna look in your eyes. I just wanna look in your eyes. Oh, cause you're calling out to me in ways that I can't see. And I just wanna look in your eyes. When I just wanna look in your eyes. Oh, you're calling me on in ways that won't let go. And I just wanna look in your eyes. I just wanna look in your eyes. Ooh, oh, 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 thank you guys. Ah, yeah. First time ever. That was great.
I liked it. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that one's heading on the net for distribution.
Yeah, I've been working the last month just in my office with what little recording gear I have, and I'll be putting out kind of a full band version of that song. So
nice. That's gonna be. I really liked it. And actually, we were just talking about this before we got on the air, but we were talking about some of the Christian artists that we really appreciate for their honest. Approach to songwriting. Like, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but there was a spell in modern Christian music where if you just put Jesus, holy, or glory in the tune, you know, it got stamped on a CD and sold to people.
Oh, well, I edited that out.
That's good, because that would have ruined my joke.
It's a new territory.
Yeah. But, like, I didn't get that. And, like, I really appreciate more than just about anything, honest songwriting. And I think that's the truth, because most people don't want to take the time to admit that, like, sometimes, God, I want to see your face. I want to feel more than I'm feeling now. I get what you're saying. I've read your Bible. I understand your heart. You know, but sometimes I just need to feel that hand on my back and
amen, man. Yeah.
And it just means a ton, right? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that feeling. You're seeking the presence of the God that made you, and that's really healthy. That's not anything to be ashamed of. So I really liked it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Speaking of staying healthy, here's the deal. I attended a essential oils from the Bible class this evening.
I heard that was going on tonight.
Here's the thing. I should start out with a disclaimer. I circa
circa about two, I'd say a year and a half ago, whatever, people start talking to me about using oils for things. And I'm like, no.
WD-40, that's all I need.
This sounds like some crazy voodoo business. You know what I'm saying? Anything that was apart from high health insurance and long waiting rooms, I'm like, no, I don't think so. That's not for me, you know? But long story short, so I've used some of these oils, and I'm kind of impressed by them. Like, they do what they say they're going to do. They're not, they're not FDA-approved treatments for anything, but, like, they're natural. They're just, you know, oils from a plant. And actually, I've been fairly impressed. I use them more than I thought. I don't demonize those that do. I've had a little bit of a change of heart on it. I've seen them do some really good things. So parlay to that, I attended a Essential Oils for the Bible class, and basically it was to show like what parts of their product line were found in the Bible. And there were some really thin things strewn out. Like there's things that are mentioned in the Bible that are part of essential oils, like hyssop. I think David in one of the Psalms was talking about cleansing with hyssop, and so like that was referenced, and that's pretty straightforward. Frankincense and myrrh are both plants where oils can be, you know, extracted from them and used for things, and it was a big deal because Jesus had it and that and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, you know, I kind of see what you're saying. The health benefits are just, above the moon as far as, you know, they explain it. But then it got to, like, they were citing Bible verses, and they just put them up on a screen, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I got out my pocket Bible, a.k.a. my phone, and I'm checking these verses. I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember ever saying Sparnard or whatever the name of this oil is in the Bible. Because they were claiming that, like, Jesus was, like, when the gal was oiling, cleansing his feet with the alabaster jar, right?
Yep.
That it was Sparknard.
Oh, Spikenard.
Spikenard, right? Spikenard, I'm like, I would have remembered if they'd have said Spikenard in the Bible. Like, I'd have seen it, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like a Masters of the Universe villain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get on the horses. Spikenard is broken through, you know?
I thought it was Axe.
Yeah.
So that's a disappointment.
So I started looking up the verses, right? And, like, they were talking about hyssop. And they said, okay, so one of the verses referenced was when they were talking about painting the blood of the lamb over the doors.
Yeah.
So God passed through and didn't kill the firstborn. And they're like, and they had it, when they painted it with hyssop branches. And so that means that the blood of the lamb combined with the scent of hyssop kept the Lord from killing the firstborn. I'm like, well, you know, I feel like it didn't say that. You know, I feel like it said the lamb's blood's what done it, you know, and like this hyssop business that you're throwing in there, maybe it was just a handy brush. Maybe the hyssop plant has got a fluffy end that was good for painting. I don't know. I'm like, well, that's a little thin. And then their next example was, so when Jesus was up on the cross and they offered the sponge full of wine vinegar, whatever it was, right? They're like, and he was offered to him with a hyssop branch. So when our Savior was dying, he was smelling the sweet scent of hyssop. But I'm like, I feel like it was just a long stick, you know, like the cross was high. They saw a hyssop tree sitting around and they had to put the thing on something. And hyssop is fairly common in the Middle East in that area. And like, I feel like it was just the closest one. It like wasn't preordained by the Lord to smell sweet hyssop, you know? And so like, these are the things where I'm like, I understand what you're saying. I feel like there's some validity to these oils opposed to maybe attacking your body with a bunch of, you know, pre-approved steroids that the government has said, okay, you know, like, they give us a lot of stuff, you know? And so I'm not against using all natural oils, but when you try to say attach the Lord,
find a random verse and say, now see,
yeah,
see, this is for you.
The
this
Lord is, loves yeah, yeah. hyssop. I'm like, he invented hyssop. You know, that's enough for me. I don't know if that means that, like, I got to attach it to everything I own, buy a hyssop
it's
toothbrush.
It's in his special blend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why don't you just call it the Jesus's favorite and then try to sell it to me for $85? That seems a bit far, you know? But all that to say, like, I went to this class, and it was interesting at the least. I took a couple things away from it, but, like, you got to run. Just because people say Jesus, you don't put that underneath your arm and carry it to the touchdown. You know what I'm saying? You might want to do a little Berean on it and make sure that, hyssop isn't God's favorite tree ever. And it might just be the conduit in which other things are going down. So, Ben, you attended one of those classes, didn't you?
I did. And, you know, one of the interesting things about those folks is they have the makeup of the oils that were used to do the incense in the temple. And intentionally, if you remember, like, you're not supposed to make that stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's danger in concocting this temple waft. And so the company intentionally doesn't sell, like, one of the ingredients. so that you can't buy the full spread from them and make the temple stuff. So it's the Lord's Temple
and
minus.
I thought, that's a good idea.
Lord's Temple light.
That's a good idea. I tell you what, so I have been one of those classes because I was interested in it. And like there is a lot of – anytime that you can take when you're reading the Bible that you can just see it not see it from a different lens. Like you're looking at it from a different perspective. Still true perspective, but a different perspective. I think it always just adds more. It adds depth to perhaps what we otherwise get, right? Like I might just think frankincense, myrrh. Okay, yeah, great. Some sort of something that indicated people had money. Like that's what I think, right? There is depth to understanding what those were for. There is depth to understanding how what oils people were anointed with, because you could anoint them with anything, but they used certain things. And so, like, there were certainly some interesting things to take from it. It doesn't make, you know, Jesus higher on the throne than before.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make the oils holy, but it's certainly interesting. So I'll put it that way. I would go again.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it was more of an open up to like the culture of that day. Like, just here's the thing. It's like saying that the culture that Jesus was born into was a more holy culture just because Jesus was there, right? So you take the things that happened during Jesus' time and go, this must be the holiest of times because that's when the Lord appeared. I don't really see it that way. Mm-hmm. And so just because they used those oils to heal in that culture. Just because Jesus was around during that time period, I don't know that puts his blessing on it, you know? Yeah. It just means that's the culture he was in.
I mean, there is something you can learn from those things. And a lot of times what you'll see in a modern culture is people grasp very shallow representations of things that were going on in Jesus' day, and then they exploit it into something that it isn't. So, I mean, understanding the historicity of some of that stuff, I think is certainly interesting. You be careful with what you do with it.
Yeah. And listen, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not against these oils. Like, I feel like some of them work, and they work well, and maybe better than modern medicine, and you know, you're not buying into a, you know, what most of you as a broken down, you know, Rob Peter to pay Peter, Paul, Stephen, Bob, and Timbo healthcare system. You know what I'm saying? It's just an oddball setup. But like, I'm just more leery of connecting saint, like making an oil and a saint. You know what I'm saying?
They get into the trap of, I mean, ultimately it is a business, and that's okay to have a business. Nothing wrong with a business. They make money. But then they have to, they feel like they need a scriptural justification for every single part of the business.
Yeah, right.
So see, and that's what they're doing. It's like, well, we got to pull this over here and this over here, and this is why we have this. And maybe it's just a cool oil.
Well, that's the thing. And like, here's the deal. Like, I didn't find the lady to be like, you know, wrong, or she didn't give me the spiritual willies or anything. Like, I've been around people that give me the spiritual willies. They talk about God, and I'm like, I'm not getting a true God thing from you. I'm getting the stomach ache, and like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that from this gal. Like, she seemed pretty straight up and up, and and so it was all okay. But like, it just seems like you don't need to stretch it so thin, right? Were they cleansing with hyssop oil? Yeah, they were. David did it, right? There's enough proof right there. I mean, to take the doorpost stick and then make it holy, and then the stick that produced the gall wine vinegar, make that holy too. I don't know. It just seems like circumstance to me, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, I'd attend one. I think I'd probably attend one again. But just, you know, like I said, bereeing it up. Make sure you look at, you know, your Bible. Don't get easily taken in. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying make sure the Bible agrees with what they're saying and not the other way around.
Amen. Yeah. You're listening to Live from the Path. We do come at you every Monday night here at livefromthepath.org from 10 to 11. On the gracious sponsorship dollars of a couple of our cool sponsors, the Eisenlauer team. Bob Eisenlauer has been on the show a few times. He's an awesome realtor, and now may or may not be the time to buy a house. I don't know. I don't do realtor stuff. That's why we have Bob.
Did you hear he's running for mayor?
What?
No.
I didn't hear that either.
Oh.
He'd be good at it, though.
Continue on.
Yeah, Eisenlauer for mayor. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We should buy that web address before he gets to it. That way, in case he wants to be mayor, we can extort him for big prices. Yeah.
I feel like you're going to advertise another 3 years here, Bob. So if you want Eisenlauer for mayor to be yours.
Bob, we have the perfect website for you. Here's our demands.
Otherwise, we're just going to post pictures of elbows up there, and that's it.
No one wants to see about your elbows, Bob.
What kind of mayor
buy
is that?
This domain now.
But anyway, if you go to EisenlauerTeam.com, look up Bob, and he can help you with any of your buying and home selling needs. And he's just a great friend of the show. If nothing else, give him a phone call, send him an email, say, hey Bob, thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path. Also, Westville Veterinary Hospital, is it February yet?
Almost.
Shoot, not close. Quite, because we're prepping for the big February Doggy Dental Care Month.
Heck yeah. here's the deal. You know you ain't brushing your dog's teeth like you're supposed to. You look at the dog and you feel like magically his teeth are getting clean. Well, he must be eating plants and, you know, chewing on his tail, and that must do it. That's not how it works, man. All that stuff you read on the internet, like get him a blue dog bowl, that'll keep his teeth clean. That's ridiculous.
You ever clean your teeth by chewing on your fingernails?
I don't think so. You might clean your fingernails that way.
Yeah.
But that goes into your teeth. That's how it works. So it doesn't work for your dog either. You got to take that dude in if you're not going to do it yourself. The guys at Westfield Veterinary Hospital can help you out. Obviously, they're a full-service pet care hospital. They can take care of all your needs. My dog has something growing. You ever pet the dog and you're like, that's something's in there.
That don't feel right.
Be in there.
Yeah.
I got to take that dog in. Because, you know, dogs are beastly. They're not like your uncle who whines all the time, right? He gets a club foot, and he tells about it every time people come over for dinner. But the dog don't tell stories like that. It can have, like, 8 grows on him, and he don't say anything.
Yeah, he's still happy to see you when you walk in the door, you know? Thanks for not taking care of these grows. Lick, lick, lick.
He don't know. You know, he's a fool.
He's licking you with the tongue that he just used.
Yeah, I've been cleaning these grows all day.
Take me in.
It's not pus, Ben. I'm just excited.
Don't try to come at me with them oils either. So anyway, here's the deal. It's just take all that basic maintenance stuff that you think the dog is handling on his own. Have you looked your dog in the face? He doesn't handle stuff on his own.
Yeah.
He's not a responsible character.
He'll eat his own poop. You don't watch him. You know what I'm saying?
Anybody that eats that dog food you give him every day, twice a day, and doesn't complain, that guy's not right. All right, so now's the time to extend a hand, brush his teeth. Take them out of Westfield. They'll set you up. And here's the cool thing. Is they'll kind of help you out and figure out what has to be done. It's kind of like getting your oil changed.
Yeah.
Hey, listen here. That really has to be done. You need to take care of that stuff. Go to WestfieldVetHospital.com, and those guys can help you out. Again, gracious sponsor of the show. I don't know why they paid for stuff here. No. That's a mistake on their part.
No, sometimes I pray, Lord, help our sponsors not to have discernment. And so far, he's come through. Yeah.
They say, well, one more month, boys. All right, that's Life and Path. Also, if you go to lifeandpath.org during the week, you can sign up for the audio podcast. You can catch previous clips of the show's musical performances. The stuff from Chris this week will be posted out there, so you can watch that at your leisure. And it's always a good time at lifeandthepath.org. So thanks for listening. All right, so here's what I ran across this week. It was an article on thegospelcoalition.org. It titled, Has Authenticity Trumped Holiness? And I'll just read a couple sections of this, and I'll kind of, maybe we can talk about it a little bit. So it says, in recent years, evangelical Christianity has made its imperfection a point of emphasis. Books were published with titles like Messy Spirituality, God's Annoying Love for Imperfect People, Death by Church, and Jesus Wants to Save Christians. And churches popped up with names like Scum of the Earth and Salvage Yard. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, there's a Salvage Yard church in Des Moines.
Is it really?
Yeah. I thought it was a clever name for an actual salvage joint.
Yeah.
And when I found out it was a Jesus place, I left quickly because I was trying to get deals. And
I'm here to
no deals there. Yeah. I mean, I thought they were selling stuff.
Scum of the Earth.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really disappointed.
I'm here to turn in copper.
Yeah. Actually, Pathway is kind of suburbia.
That's
lame.
Man.
Gotta rethink that.
Let's see. Okay. Meanwhile, self deprecating humor sites like Stuff Christians Like. Hey, man.
Whoa.
Acuff from Stuff Christian Likes is going to be on in May.
Yeah.
Get ready for calendars. become hugely popular repositories of Christianity's many warts. Evangelicism, both on the individual and institutional level, is trying hard to purge itself of a polished veneer that smacked of hypocrisy. But by focusing on brokenness as proof of our realness and authenticity, have evangelicals turned being screwed up into a badge of honor, its own sort of works righteousness? Has authenticity become a higher calling than, say, holiness?
You're going to need to break that down in more layman's terms, Ben.
So I think the question is, and this is kind of the quote that I talked about earlier. Do we feel like Christians run from hypocrisy, right? I don't want to be the hypocrite. I don't want to be the guy that's acting like I'm better than everybody else, because that's a dirty lie. Everybody knows that's not true. I'm not better than anybody else. I just know the guy that is, right? Mm-hmm. I know Jesus. That's the distinction. And so, but I think what they're trying to point out here is that to live out of conformity with what you feel is hypocrisy. So I feel this way, and if I don't act like that, act this way, that's also hypocritical, as opposed to living out of conformity with what we believe is hypocrisy. Here's what I say I actually believe in, and I'm not living that way. That's hypocritical, as opposed to having to drag your behavior down into the muck so that you're not a hypocrite, right? Basically, lower the bar of how you're supposed to behave so that you're not hypocritical, and your language to get those things to be the same.
Okay, I think
that makes sense.
I think I feel what's going on here. So basically, what you're saying is, maybe I guess this is true in my life, but I've met some fellas that used to go to a very stodgy as far as I could see it, judgmental church. They did not accept these the guys I was talking to. They were very harsh with them, and they just didn't feel the love of Christ there, right? And they swear like sailors. So now, granted, I'm going to admit I've done this, right? Like, I will lower my language barrier to about where they belong to say, look, Jesus loves me. I talk like you, right? I didn't do it on purpose. Like, I'm not saying that I was purposely like, hey, I'm going to start swearing now, to make you feel more comfortable.
Can we hang out more often?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not going to say I haven't done that, right? Like, yeah. I don't make any attempt to hide the fact that I still swear on occasion. I just do, right? Like, the Lord has redeemed me from a lot of stuff in my life and a lot of mistakes that I made, and my tongue still gets away from me on occasion, right? And, like, I hate to see people who have been rejected from church because they swear on occasion, right? I know the love of Jesus Christ. I know I still have faults, and right? And so sometimes I go overboard with that and attempt to show, hey, I am a messed up sinner just like you. See, the people that judged you had no right to do that. Jesus has love for you. But instead of setting an example of a higher bar, I just say, hey, look, the guys that judged you first were wrong, right? We never quite get to the second step. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think maybe that's part of what I'm thinking is like we never allow people that when we do that, what we do is we cast redemption without actually them getting to feel it, right? They get to hear the truth of redemption. Here's what it's like to live a life with peace and joy and happiness and the things that aren't destroying you. And there's a reason Jesus talks about that, right? There's a reason in Matthew 5-7 when on the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, look, here's how we live in the kingdom. A lot of that's for your protection. It's not because he wants to set up a series of elitists. He's like, this is how we live because this represents me. And this fills your life with peace and joy. And so a lot of times, though, we want to tell people that, but make sure that it's clear that, like, you're still a sinner, though. So, like, it's you're acting this way, and that doesn't mean, like, you're worse. And like, I get the grace behind that, but, like, I feel like we're not actually pointing to people to a life where they actually get to experience some of the things that Jesus promises, because we keep meeting them at the low denominator as opposed to, like, okay, redemption, awesome, follow Jesus out of it. We just accept the truth of redemption and then sit in it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, well, I think I feel what you're saying here is that, like, while the redemptive portion, like Jesus had died for our sins, true, right? But when he's talking about joy, he's talking about the life that he has set up for you. And, like, when he talks on the Sermon Mount, those are direct applicable things to your life. Here's what you do to produce joy, right? Like, people always want to rage against some of the rules, like especially when it comes to sexual immorality. Like, they just want to buck that system all day long. But like, when you can get to the point where you're trusting God with your joy, he says, hey, I promise you this is going to cause you more pain than joy. If you go this way, I just promise you there's going to be more pain associated with it than joy. And the thing is like, we generally don't believe him when he says that, right? When we say, like when it's time to tell a little white lie so you don't get yelled at by your boss, right? He's saying, I promise you there's more joy in just being honest than there is avoiding this small chewing you're going to get when you get there, right? And, like, we tend not to believe that. And so, like, we sit in the salvation realm of God died for our of Jesus dying for our sins, but never quite get to the point where we get to experience the joy that he had set out for us, because we don't move from the muck. We're like, we're saved because we're messed up and only Jesus is good, and then the joy is available, and we never quite take the invitation for the joy, you know?
Yeah, I think I know where some of this comes from. There's a danger, I think. People are always very hesitant on works, right? Like, you're trying to save yourself by works. You're trying to act like you're a good person so that Jesus will love you. And, like, that's a basic lie. That's the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that you couldn't do it, but Jesus did. Okay, that's the truth. But along those same lines, we then stop and get, I think, nervous around anything that looks like good works as if you're trying to save yourself. But, like, that's not the root of it. The root of it, if you look, so Ephesians 2 is where a lot of times this comes, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Agreed, right? But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. it's not a salvation issue. It's like you're saved because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But like he, as part of his whole deal, is he's prepared good works for you to walk in for the further of his kingdom, and again for your joy and peace. Yeah. And like, and we kind of cut that off because anything that looks like good works, we're like, well, you know, guy's trying to save himself, trying to look like a real pious dude, and like. It's always a hard issue. It's always a hard issue, and I'm afraid that sometimes to make sure that people who are running from Jesus see that everyone has run from Jesus at some point, that we kind of put on the "hey, I'm kind of running from Jesus too" mask, so yeah, that they're comfortable. Yeah. And like, I don't want you to feel more comfortable in that state. I want you to be redeemed from that state and totally live in the peace that lives beyond it.
But I think the motivation is that we want to be relevant to the person who's not a follower. I think that's the heart of what's
right.
What's getting here.
Yep.
But then we've given up in many times, given up that desire, that holiness, in order to be relevant. Like we don't even bother to grow because, well, I'm just trying to reach as many people.
Right.
As
I want to be relevant. I want to stay. I want to stay relevant. So people can understand that Christ is for everybody, even people like you. And so I will act in such a way that makes you feel comfortable where you're at.
We're the junkyard church. You just come here and be junk. We don't. That's okay. It's all right. We're all junk. It's like at some point you're supposed to take that next step, and you're supposed to grow, and you strive toward holiness because He is holy.
Well, but yeah, I mean, but think about that. I think that talks to both you guys are saying. Like the biggest leaps I've made in my spiritual life and my relationship with God is because He has made me feel so uncomfortable in the way that I was living. Right. Like that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does to you. Right. When you invite. Right. The Holy Spirit to live inside you and help start guiding your life, He will make the things that are robbing your joy feel very uncomfortable to you. And you know, like you try to say, like, well, it's kind of a gray line. The Scripture's not real clear on it. The Holy Spirit is always clear, and He makes you feel very uncomfortable
when
you're doing it.
That's what we always say, that intimacy with God changes people.
Yes.
The closer you are to Christ, I mean, He just reveals, okay, I need to do some adjustment here. But when we shelter ourselves from that in order to be relevant, we miss that.
Dang, I feel convicted by this conversation. And the reason I brought it up is because I kind of felt that way. I thought, you know, I'm guilty of that. Yeah. And I think the thing is when the Bible talks about the good news, and it's talking about the kingdom of God, I feel like we're stopping short. We're stopping short, and we say grace, salvation, I'm good, and then there's like much more beyond that, and. I don't like we don't always move beyond. We just kind of sit in the words of the good news, and we don't live it out. And we have that opportunity to do it.
You guys need to follow me. I'm as irrelevant as they come.
Agreed.
Like that guy. Yeah.
Bummer. And that was kind of the focus last week, and I didn't get to it. But of the Pope style advice, and for you guys haven't seen the show, so the premise of the Pope style advice is like, let's say someone shows up on your lawn, or you get like 200,000-300,000 people show up on your lawn like the Pope. More and more people show up when I'm the Pope.
I understand.
So you know how the Pope goes out? He goes out on that little stand, and he raises his hand, and he starts talking to people, right? So someone has mistaken you for the Pope, and you have to give them some sort of advice. Otherwise, they'll never leave your lawn, okay? And so that's the Pope-style advice. And mine was, for last week, and it fits right into where this article was like, God didn't stop telling the story, so don't stop living the story. Like, God didn't say, here's good news, and then just kind of stop and say, sit in that for a while. Like he speaks of a whole kingdom that exists. And a lot of times we're like repent, don't stop. And it's not that you're not saved, but it's like, boy, I feel like we're missing out.
It's the whole pick up your cross daily.
Yeah.
Not just that one time.
Well, and that's interesting is like if you think about where that's at in Matthew, right? Like that's not a salvation context, picking up your cross. Like it could point to that. You can look back at it, but like he hadn't died on the cross yet. His terms at that time was, I'm doing a failed revolution, right? I'm going to lead a revolution, and I will die doing it. That's how people died who had a failed revolution, is they died on crosses. And Jesus is looking at these people and saying, hey, I'm leading a revolution, and it's going to fail. You do it too. You know what I'm saying? Like we look at the salvation contest, and it tells that really, you know, it's a story. But think about it to the people that were hearing that when he said it. They hear it much differently than we hear it because we have the context of him dying on that cross from a salvation perspective. They don't have that context. He's just a failed revolutionary that's saying, you're going to do it too. And in that context, that's a living. How are you going to live? You're going to live as a person that lives opposite of what's going on around you, and they're going to kill you for it.
Yeah.
And that's different. It's a way different perspective to
those
people.
Well, it sounds way more empowering and not near as burdensome, right? Like, people usually like to beat you over the head with that verse and be like, "It's, you know, carry the burden of Christ with you every day." And instead of that, like, it's almost a verse of freedom and joy, right? Like, here's what you're going to do. You know, like, get started with it.
Yeah. So, pick it up. Make it a run.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my and maybe that Pope style advice is I don't know, 300,000 of me standing in the lawn saying, "Men, don't stop. God's pointed to weigh other things." And I feel and sometimes you don't do that because you don't know. I think we've made a failure a little bit of that as a church is all the pamphlets and stuff we have are a salvation perspective. We don't do very well on educating how Jesus or how Paul talked about, hey, what does the kingdom of God look like outside of this? Because we point to the one thing, rightfully so. Don't you got to hear me right on this, right? I'm not distracting from purpose of Christ on the cross. But what I'm saying is, he spoke more. It's beyond. There's a kingdom of God that came when Christ came, and I feel like sometimes we just stop. So and that kingdom is it's the shadow of the cross cast above it, but it's not the entire story.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Sorry.
I agree. I liked it, Ben.
All right. Let's hear from Chris Akers some more.
Yeah, Chris Akers. Hold on. So we got another song coming up called "I Choose Forever." You got a story behind that one?
Yeah, and I feel like it almost kind of ties into a little bit of what we've been talking about. You're taking what you've been given and continuing to be committed to that and running with it every day. You know, this is a song I wrote for my parents who have been happily married for 30 years now, and I got to sing this with my siblings. On the beach of the lake that they first went on their first date. So this is a song it's really personal to me. And so some of the lyrics are about things that my dad vowed to my mom on their wedding day, like, you know, simple things. Here's a kiss for your forehead every night, you know, but I'm gonna give you that every night, you know, so that you know that I love you every day, you know. So that's what it's about. On this day, I choose forever.
Okay, you're listening to "I Choose Forever" from Chris Akers on Live from the Path.
I can crawl, I can walk, honey, I can run, I can breathe, I can talk, I can touch the sun, I can be anything, but it comes to nothing without you. I get up, I get down, I get in between, I get lost, I get found in a raging sea, and I can shout at the wind, but it won't agree without you. Oh, I tell you what you are, a wonder work of art. Take me till my days run out, 'cause I give you my heart, and I give you my life, and I choose forever. I choose forever. Hey, I give you my heart, and I give you my life. I choose forever. I choose forever. So here's a kiss for your forehead every night. Here's the key to my heart. Here's a cord we tie with faith, hope, and love. Faithful in love together. And I don't care if the colors fade away. I don't care if the laughter comes in pain. All I want is your better and your worst forever. 'Cause I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I choose forever. I choose forever. Hey, I give you my heart, and I give you my life. I choose forever. I choose forever. Oh, love, I tell you what you are, a wonder work of art. Take me till my days run out. I tell you what you are, a wonder work of art. Won't you take me till my days run out? Hey, I give you my heart, and I give you my life, and I choose forever. And I choose forever, yeah. I give you my heart, and I give you my life. I choose forever.
I choose forever. Yes, I give you my heart. And I give you my life. I choose forever. I choose forever. Hey, love, I give you my heart. I give you my life and choose forever. I choose forever.
You guys are great. Thank you.
I really liked that one too.
That was awesome.
So, it made me want to hug Boova. I can't
bring
explain
it. Bring it on.
Yeah. We welcome hugs here.
Were there any dry eyes on the beach when you guys were?
Oh, I hope not. You know, yeah. You don't want to be able to see after a song like that. I have to close my eyes because if I see my parents sitting right there,
I can't imagine.
And plus, on top of that, you know, having my brother and my sister right next to me singing that.
Yeah.
My brother, phenomenal guy, but he doesn't pour his heart out in song that often. So to hear him just embrace this, like, he just grabbed it and he cut loose.
Like eyes closed, Michael Bolton style?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Hitting the tale tempo ring.
Captain Jack Sparrow. Yeah, you know. But it was really cool. So, banner moment for me.
Actually, you know what? It was funny. I was listening to that song and I'm like, I hope I leave that impression on my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really hope that my marriage speaks that to my kids. And so,
me too, man. Yeah. Seriously.
That was excellent. I really liked it. Now, if people wanted to hear that one, that one's not quite online yet, right?
It's not there yet.
Okay, but it's heading that direction.
That's so many songs up here, and it's hard to choose which one to go for next, but I feel good about that one. So
I feel the same way when I'm looking at, say, sleeveless T-shirts. You know, like, there's so many that make me look good, and sometimes I have a hard time picking them out.
Yeah.
Incidentally, what you cannot find is my sleeveless T-shirt wearing, but what you can find is more music from Chris Akers. You can find it on Spotify. You can like his Facebook page. It's just straight up Chris Space Akers Facebook, right?
It's just facebook.com/ChrisAkersMusic.
Yeah, Chris Akers Music.
So
now, do you have a personal Facebook that we could connect with you on a more personal level, or will you deny us if you don't know who we are?
I'd like to know who you are first, you know, so.
So hit the corporate page, and then we might advance from there?
Yeah, if you provide me with your social security number in a way that you can be reached, then, I'd be happy to be
here. Yeah, that's fair. We'll start out with Boova's, and then if you're responsible with that one, then I'll give you mine.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's a lot less at stake with mine.
But you can also find it on, you can find music on Reverb Nation and also Bandcamp. So those are excellent places to check out.
Yeah, check out chrisakers.bandcamp.com. My last name's spelled weird, A-K-E-R-S. I think it's Norwegian, so you might get that wrong otherwise.
Oh, yeah, because other people might spell it like for land.
Like
land
acres.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that a lot as a kid.
Actually, that'd be a funny entendre to name your farm, like, when you're older. Chris Akers.
That's why I moved to Iowa, man.
I mean, it's not awesome funny, but it's it's 25%.
Yeah, Mike, that was great.
It's getting a little hot in here.
It's getting a little weird.
I feel like the embarrassment has turned up the thermostat.
I'm pretty excited, man. I have a weirdly spelled last name as well, and I put something out on the Facebook, and I guessed A-K-E-R-S, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I feel like your name is not
You're
spelled
You're my hero,
weird.
Man.
Yeah. Engeldinger?
I feel like your last name is just weird in general.
Boova might be pretty easy to spell with a B-O-O-V-A, but my actual name of Troy Engeldinger, you have no idea how many people mess that up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not spelled funny. It's just a weird name. Like, it just comes with the name being weird. Like Schadenfreude.
They just see it and they're like, that can't be real.
Yeah. Schadenfreude,
He
really?
Made that up. It's his code name. Engeldinger.
Engeldinger.
All right, you're listening live from the path. Chris came in and did something awesome and then it went off the rails.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. That's what it's like in here.
It's been nice to be a foost. Four letters.
Boova, did you have some Pope style?
I did, and because it's now my Pope style advice means 290,000 people have left my front lawn because Ben's Pope style advice is 300K, mine is 10K.
Ben chased them away.
Right, Ben chased him away with his advice, and there's 10K left.
They're out. Everybody left and started not doing good works and then patting themselves on the back about it.
Exactly.
And then they saw Troy and thought, hey, I wonder if this guy knows where the bathroom is.
Hey, is that guy up there? All right, we'll talk to him too. So this week, I is an incredible experience that I got to do that in my Christ-following lifetime so far of about 2.5 years. I finally got to teach youth about the Bible. And I've been doing this for a while now. I started teaching a Sunday school on Sunday mornings with the high school youth last year. And I've taught off of books and I've taught off of different video series. And I really enjoyed doing that, but it wasn't the Bible. It was the interpretations of the Bible written by someone else. So
there was a lot less at stake in my heart, is what I thought. And recently I got asked to teach a chapter of Luke in our youth group on Wednesday nights. And my first reaction was, oh no, I got the butterflies in the stomach deal. And it just, it completely shut me down, because I thought to myself, okay, so if I read a book wrong and I misinterpreted it a little bit, and I told these kids some life lessons that, yeah, maybe wasn't the greatest thing, but at the same time, maybe wasn't the worst thing on the planet. Oh, well. But if I'm misinterpreting the heart of God on this, and I'm really getting the Bible wrong, there's some serious stuff at stake with that. And it just, it clicked different in my mind. Here's where my advice comes from, and here's what I'm going to tell to the 10,000 people that are looking for the bathroom. Trust in God. I cannot simplify it more than that, than trust in God, especially when it comes to just letting Him speak through you and use you as a tool. I was so worried about what I was going to say, and I was so worried about what I was going to teach, and it's hysterical, because I taught Luke 12. And in Luke 12, coincidentally, is do not be anxious. Literally, I'm reading through this, and I find the portion on do not be anxious, and it talks about how if you are brought in front of the authorities of the world, do not be anxious about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that hour. And that's the verses that I'm worried about teaching to these kids.
Well, it does also say if it's the youth group, he pretty much leaves you on your own, right?
Exactly.
I don't go in there.
If it's not the legal authorities, those kids are crazy. I'm not going in there. No, it just hit me. It was funny because I'm sitting there and I'm about to teach on not being anxious. And I'm the one that, even before we walk in there, I prayed with the leaders. I'm just like, guys, I have butterflies in my stomach right now because I'm so nervous. And for the people that don't know, I train for a living. I teach adults for a living. I'm a training team manager, so there's no reason why being a facilitator of anything should be a nervous wreck for me, but it just was. But lo and behold, the wonderful God and creator of our universe just decided to just grab onto my heart and just say, hey, Troy, guess what? It's okay.
It's a good thing you did, because I was about ready to hit him with a hyssop branch.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, "Hey, man, you don't want to know what's on the end of this hyssop branch."
That's right.
I'm gonna smack you with it.
You better get your anxiety out of here before I hit you.
Hey, Mike, that's not. I think I even said to Mike, "Hey, man, at any point in time you feel like I'm saying something stupid, just stop me." And he's like, "Oh, I know, I will." I'm like, "Thanks."
Yeah, I actually had some pre-written down interjections I was gonna use. Like, "Are you kidding me?" I practiced it on the car on the way in. I'm like, "Does that sound too harsh, wife?" She's like, "No, that's about right."
Okay.
"Are you kidding me?" Also, "No, that's too much."
Practice it on the what?
On the wife. I mean, I ride.
Did you say Dracar?
I didn't. In the car.
Dracar.
Why would
Noir.
I say Dracar?
The cologne.
That's what I thought.
The
like,
cologne.
I got this image of you driving, talked into a bottle of men's cologne.
I sprayed it on his
I have all my conversations with him.
He's a feisty one.
Speak to me, de toilet.
His discernment is the best. He's got the best advice.
And when it doesn't agree with me, I say, well, you're no hyssop. Yeah. Get in the backseat.
So what it boils down to is just trusting God. And I know that I'm getting to one specific portion, especially a very specific portion of teaching on the Bible. But when it comes down to it, just trusting God in a lot of different things. I think that we get completely pushed away by our daily, our lives and our day-to-day lives and everything like that, of all the stuff that happens, and we just don't stop and think to ourselves, hey, guess what? We are the sons and daughters of the creator of this entire universe. And when all of it happened, he knew everything you were ever going to do and everything you've ever done and everything about you. And he still loved you enough to send his son to die on the cross. I mean, all those amazing acts of wonder and of love and majesty that God has. And we worry about this kind of stuff. And it talks about the five sparrows, and it talks about the lilies of the field that were more beautiful of Solomon. Just stop. Seriously, stop and think to yourself, am I honestly worrying about this? Why am I worrying about this? Because there's nothing that you're going to do that is going to change anything. God has it completely in control, and he is much more wise than you are. So his outcome is going to be much more just and much more wise than yours would be. You know, get off my lawn.
Yeah. You're making me nervous.
Yeah. The bathroom's three.
I'm getting anxious about this whole thing.
The bathroom's three doors to the left.
Yeah, you know, I've had that, I've had a similar thought to that before, you know, when I was preaching something, and like, especially if you come to a conclusion that you feel like somebody's come to a different conclusion, you're just like, I feel like maybe I'm not right here. but here's the deal is, you know, it's, they're God's people. They may even block you out the whole, however long you're going to talk. Even if you get up and say the wrong thing, he might just be changing it before it hits your ear. Gotta do that stuff. thinks you're gonna be fine.
He does.
All right. You ready? Dear Life from the Path. You got time for one of these, Ben?
Yeah, we got one. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Dear Life from the Path. When parents who live many miles away from their adult children visit their homes, to what extent should they be treated as guests? When we visit our son, our daughter-in-law gets herself a snack and then sits down to eat it and watch TV. And there we sit. She never offers us a thing. Are we expecting too much, or doesn't she have any manners? Also, when we have a meal in their home, they get their own beverages and never mention anything about what is available to us. We're not used to this kind of treatment. Have you any thoughts on how to handle this without causing it a rift?
You want me to tell you what I think's happening here?
Yeah, go.
Okay. When they walk in the door, you look at them, you think, that's a grown man and a grown woman. They understand that there's food and drink available, and they know how to run the sink, the refrigerator, and the stove. Like, I mean, I realize that when your parents come to town, you can be hospitable, but like, I walk into my mom's house all the time and just eat whatever's in there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're a grown person. Get yourself something to drink.
These are people you have lived with for years. I mean, yeah. It's not like you know, you're the neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Downton Abbey, man. Get yourself a soda. You know, what's the problem? I mean, what, do you just properly sit there on the couch and be like, hey, Stephen, we haven't been served. Shush, Marie. Wait. The butler must be on vacation. Yeah, well, wait him out.
Wait, you know, am I understanding right, though? It's the parents visiting the kids.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they're upset because they're not offering them things to drink or making a snack.
Yeah. Hi, Dad. I haven't seen you in a while. Clark Bar? Anybody? Clark Bar. No?
I got grapes. So if my parents...
Showstopper.
I know. That really did.
The conversation continued when he was talking to a man's perfume bottle.
Yeah.
But you managed to stop it with your fruit.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong. Grapes are good, man. Leave it alone. Yeah. So if my parents were still around and they came over to my house at any point in time, I would not offer them anything. I would expect them to know that there's something in the fridge. I would expect them to know that they are more than welcome to anything. They kind of fed me for 18 years. And everyone that knows me knows that that was a lot of food. Yeah. Like, a lot. They kind of earned the right to just come over to my house and raid my fridge whenever they want.
Here's the deal. I'm not going to say it's not the better part of valor to be offering people stuff up when they're at your place.
Yeah, it's nice.
I mean, there is some hospitality in that, just normal function, but not to the extent where I would be offended. Like, if you're thirsty, say, hey, man, you got any drinks around here? I mean, you may only have to say it once and be like, well, she always wants something to drink. People do.
Yeah, something about this interpretation don't sound right. Like, the way they're telling it, this daughter-in-law, grabs a brisk tea and a bag of Doritos, gives a head nod to the mom and dad, and plops down for TV. Like, I can't believe that's how it goes down. No one is that outrageous. Akers, where are you at on this thing?
I don't know if I'm totally in line, actually.
No, you're to offer them up food.
Yeah, obviously I want them to feel like, hey, yeah, you fed me for years, but hey, maybe they just drove for 2,000 miles to come see me. That's my situation. So I would at least want them to know I am glad you're in my house. So I almost look at it as like, here, let's pull something out of the Bible and we'll see if that's actually a good place to go. But like the father waiting for the prodigal son to return, right? Well, he throws his robe around him and he makes him feel welcome. And I don't know, just that joy of seeing that person there, extending the hospitality after that point, then yeah, you know, then they can fend for themselves.
Akers, what you just did there was take what you wanted to do, took the last half of a story,
uh-huh,
and then impressed it upon a situation that doesn't fit.
You guys like, love that here, don't
you? Yes.
I feel like the prodigal son does not match my old man came over. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. I feel like there's no reason to be, I don't know, rude about it. You think there's any way the parents aren't telling the full story here? Like, it feels like they're trying to get a dig on at the daughter-in-law. That's what it feels like to me, unless I'm just reading it that way.
I think it's a generational thing, and they might be maybe stretching it a little bit. You know, I mean, I can't imagine them to say, hey, there's stuff in the kitchen if you want something. Or it's just assumed. I can't imagine even having that conversation with one of my parents. You know, they just knew where stuff was.
I mean, I offer my mom and dad drinks when they come over. You know, yeah. I do that. I'm not saying that I'm defending their behavior 100%, but, like, I don't know if I'd want to make an issue out of it, right? Like, I go to people's places. I drink a lot of soda. In fact, I don't drink water at all. I just drink soda.
So I don't like go to people's houses, except for Ben's house, and throw up a big stink if there's no soda in there, right? I just stop and grab my own on the way in, and it's this done deal, right? So, like, if you know this is their habit, grab yourself a chicken leg and a 32-ouncer from the Casey's, and in you go.
So here's the deal. I'm with Akers that I think that there's something about hospitality, right? There's something about being intentional and making people feel welcome. However, I'm not sure that I agree with the perspective. I think it's a nice thing to do. I'm not sure I agree with their perspective of feeling like that there's something owed there.
Like there's a slight.
I think it is a very gracious way to treat people. It is a good way to honor people. But I don't feel dishonored if someone doesn't do that. Let me put it that way.
It sounds like kind of a difference in heritages, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like here we feel really good about our family and yeah, feel welcome. This has been our tradition. But it sounds like these parents probably raised these children under the expectation that, hey, you have manners. So they've come to this house and their son is suddenly not who they thought it would be. And I think at the heart of it is this desire to be known. You know, I want you to acknowledge that I'm here. And the way that we've done that in the past is through hospitality. So there's where I feel, you know, it's important to hear both sides of the story. And I'd love to see, you know, shouldn't the son know that about his parents?
No,
and,
that's true. Yeah. He might be a bit callous. Like, he may have figured that out, especially his mom. You know what I'm saying? You see that coming from your mom.
He's kind of sold his wife under the boat, actually.
Yeah.
They're kind of pinned it on the daughter-in-law. They didn't raise her. He should know better.
Yeah.
I'm with Akers on that one.
All right, you want to hear Secular's advice?
Yeah, hit it. Yep.
Secular says, assume that your daughter-in-law behaves this way because she doesn't know any better. As for your son, because he wasn't raised this way, he is either thoughtless, rude, or following his wife's lead. Because you're all family, things should be informal. The way to handle it is to speak up and tell your host that you're hungry and or thirsty, too. If it's said with a smile, it shouldn't cause a rift.
I am totally sure. Hey, follow me. Follow me in my rude behavior towards your parents.
Man. Okay. You want to do one more? You got time for one more?
No. Let's hear one more song from Chris Akers to take out our 99.3 broadcast.
Okay. Well, let's do Cup of Stars. I think we got time for it.
So you are listening to Live from the Path. We broadcast every Monday night at livefromthepath.org at 10 p.m. and rebroadcast on Saturdays at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Here's the deal for you guys listening on KTIA. I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to send you out with the delicious stylings of Chris Akers. For you guys that are listening online or on the podcast, we got some more show to go, so please hang on. Go ahead, and Chris, take it away.
All right, thanks, guys. I take a cup of stars and I pour them into the sea. Feet in the icy water, head reclined in the breeze. I face the howling wind pulsing in through the trees. I'm planted upon the rocks and racing up to the peak. Will your fingers hold? Will your heartbeat grow? Will you stay here with me when I leave the coast? If my vision goes, if I just don't know. Will you stay here with me when I leave the coast? Hey, and I trace that open sky and I trace it down to the streets. I roll up the hills and mountains fading behind me. And I wake the lightning and the morning promising to bring the future full of those things that I can't see. Will your fingers hold? Will your heartbeat grow? Will you stay here with me when I leave the coast? If my vision goes, if I just don't know. Will you stay here with me when I leave the coast?
That was Chris Akers. Go ahead.
What?
I was gonna
speak to it.
I was gonna say things. So what was the deal behind that song?
So you know, we've been talking about putting trust in God, and that's really what that song's about. I just moved to Iowa last August from the state of Washington, being given the opportunity to play and lead worship at First Evangelical Free Church in Ames, and I had never heard of Ames before I did this.
Yeah, me neither.
So, because I'm from Seattle, basically. So that was what that song's all about, is just, it's again a kind of an honest prayer to the Lord of, okay, I'm going to take this step. Will you hold on to me as I do this? Will you be there with me? Obviously, the answer is yes, you know, but it's just a cry out to Him. And then it's also a kind of a tribute to the friends and family that I'm leaving behind.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, will you hold on to me? I'm going to try and hold on to you, even though there's 2,000 miles in between us, you know. So, cup of stars. There,
yeah, I mean, obviously you're not the only person that's gone through that feeling, you know, when you got to make a kind of a decision, you got to separate yourself from where you used to be and get started on something different. And I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to hear all these things on one. I was just okay with you posting random tunes on the net, but now I feel like an album needs to come quickly.
Yeah.
Like within, say, 6 months.
All right.
What do we need to do?
So, funding from the station.
That's going to be a problem. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We could applaud other people that fund if you want. You know, we could hold a fundraiser.
I could dance for the fundraiser.
No, yeah, that's an
idea. Do my little jig.
Okay, I want to pay you, but that's...
yeah, that's wrong.
The issue, perfect.
Money's going the wrong way.
Yeah, the money's going the wrong way.
That's regular there.
Man, dang. I said I was going to contribute $50 to this deal, but my cologne disagreed and shot me in the face.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Yeah. Hiss up. Said hiss up to that.
You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. We're in podcast territory, right, Ben?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're hanging on right now, that means you're either listening to the live show or you've hung on for the podcast. The podcast really is the way to go. You can digest the show as you see fit. 10 o'clock's a late hour. You got to put the kids to bed. You got to have a late night snack. You got some Bible reading to do. And then, you know, they're messing stuff around in the late nights programming. And so with all that going on, I don't know how you can actually be expected to listen to the program. But you could sign up for the podcast and get to it whenever you feel like it. Also, I suppose the video will be available at the front of the website the week of.
Yeah, okay, that sounds all right. What do you want to hit next, Ben? I got 27 truths. Are we there yet? 37 life lessons.
Okay, hit it.
Okay, here we go. So some fella on the HuffPost .com typed up 37 life lessons I learned so far, and he sees them to be things that should be viewed every day. They're constant truths, and I thought we'd just hit them real quick and see where we're at. We find out if it lines up with biblical truth. And see if you really should be doing these things.
Okay.
So, number one, happiness comes from within.
Reject.
Reject.
His reasoning is we spend way too much of our lives looking for outside validation and approval that eludes us. Turns out it's been an inside job all along. Go inward.
Okay. Well, I'll accept the start of the premise.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'll accept the start of the premise. That's true. We look for validation in exterior things.
I'd say go upward. Instead of inward?
Yeah.
That's very clever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I worked on that all day.
I do bumper stickers.
Here's what I know, is that I take an awful lot of crap from people who aren't joyful. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
Yeah. Like, I'm willing to get a good hardcore biblical ribbing.
It's funny, they're joyful before you walk in the room.
From a joyful man. A guy that loves Jesus, and he's just emanating the light of Christ, and he's a joyful man. I'll take a rebuke from that man. A curmudgeonous codger? No, thank you. Right? You don't know what you're talking about because you have no joy. And in a given week, I sure take a lot of crap from people that aren't joyful. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So instead of happiness coming from within, we're going to say up above. Right? That's the way we're going to move it. Number two, be grateful for everything: the good, the bad, the ugly. Our entire life is a precious gift. The pleasure, the pain, it's all part of the path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said path. That sounds like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Path
I'm
is
all
different
over that one. Anything to do with path has got to be different.
Yeah, that has something to do with the name of this show. We like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, worth pulling apart, but agree. Yeah.
Okay. We'll agree on the surface, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not too far. Number three, subtle shifts in perception will transform your entire life.
Yeah. I agree.
So, hey, man, he's doing all right, except for that look to yourself for strength thing.
Wait, is this supposed to be biblical or just good ideas?
No, it's not biblical. It's just a guy who saw some stuff. This is how he feels about life. So
you can probably find a Bible verse for it too.
But I guess if what you're saying is the question is is that a redeemable thing biblically? Can we agree to that? And if give them the benefit of the doubt, thumbs up. Mm.
Yeah. So and like if we were going to slice that in half, we can't do them all of them because we're out of time. But like your shift of perception is like if you're looking at it from eternity angle, say from the kingdom of God angle, is this really that big a deal? What you're saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it really something worth getting angry and frustrated about, say, 30,000 years from now? Exactly. You're going to remember that exact day and go, dadgummit, about 30,000 years ago, they really put the boots to me? You know, no one cares.
I want to look inward.
Number four, in being true to yourself, you can't possibly make everybody else happy. Hey, I revert back to number one. Don't take advice from people that aren't joyful. People that are joyful, take a listen to those people. They know what they're talking about. People who aren't, no good. Right? You want to end up like that guy? Don't listen to him.
I don't even trust myself.
Yeah, agreed.
We don't trust you either.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your mirror's been lying to you for years. You look good, Dad. Yeah. Right on.
Let's go out in public like this.
Number six, the world is our mirror. What we love in others is a reflection of what we love about ourselves.
See, I just don't think that's true. I don't think it's universally true. I think there's a lot of things that I... there's people that love something in someone else because they hate it in themselves. Because, a lot of times because they're not judging their own qualities correctly. But
you know, that's the truth. Like I find I run into that with my children. Like there's parts of my children that are big parts of me, and they are the most irritating for me to deal with because they're me. You know what I'm saying? Like there's certain aspects of my personality that they inherited or that I've taught them, and I'm like, why are you so difficult to deal with? And I'm like, it's me I'm yelling at.
Seat up, punk. Yeah. You know I have to use it in here.
Seat up. You ladies are so stubborn. You want something to drink? I got soda. Akers, what's your take on that?
You got to repeat it for me, man.
Okay, space it out. I hear what you're saying.
To me. Yeah.
The world is our mirror. What we love in others is a reflection of what we love about ourselves.
I think we certainly project ourselves on other people.
Do you feel like the things that you love about other people are the things that you love about yourself? Or you dislike about other people or the things that you dislike about yourself?
I think it's worth considering, you know, if that thing that person is doing is really annoying me, is that going on in my own life? Am I doing that too?
Right.
You know,
are you growing a beard and his beard is trumped your beard? And
yeah.
You're like, hey.
So I'm bitter at him.
Yeah. Well, you got a pro beard. Me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's up with that?
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I don't think it's universal.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we go. Number six, eight, whatever. I'm going to skip them. Okay. Everybody comes into our life for a reason. If it is up to us to be open to the lessons they are meant to teach.
That's a bit of a shine on example. Someone breaks into your place and steals your television and fine china. I'm not sure there's a reason for that except for that guy's a jerk. I mean, there is a reason for it. So I think, I can agree to it on a base level.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily... designed to improve my life. Other people's sin in general, although God can work it out and does it for all people for his good, I'm just not sure that that's universally true, A, for people that don't love Jesus specifically, but other people's sin is not always designed to be a positive influence on my life.
Hey, I think that makes you the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone who comes into your life, there must be a purpose for you. It's like, maybe it's
that's
got going on.
Your purpose is for me. Thanks for filling it.
That's like, you know, something really bad happens to someone else and someone will say, do you think God's teaching me something?
Like, hey, I'm sorry your grandpa died. How does that affect me, though? What is this whole thing about?
Trying to tell me? Maybe it's time for your grandpa to go.
That's
self-centered. Would you stop it?
Seems like you're really living in the straits. I appreciate me learning from that.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe how many times I hear that, though.
I seem to be having a tough time. I'm really learning a lot.
Off
from
your
it.
Throne.
I really appreciate that. Do you want to hang out more? Because I feel like there's a lot more for me to learn from you.
I was thinking about whether I should do crunchy or creamy peanut butter, and then the Lord sent some Tic Tacs my way, and I thought crunch definitely. These are in my life so that I may be crunchy peanut butter.
There's a reason for these Tic Tacs, and it's definitely crunchy peanut butter.
Here we go down the list. Hurt people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Love them anyway. Although it's totally okay to love them from a distance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 feet back with a hyssop.
Yeah, that's right.
Love you.
Back up. I'm trying to learn from afar. Your life looks like it's in the toilet.
No,
what
this
can it
teach me?
I'm going
to learn from it.
I know I'm 50 feet away, and this doesn't look like I love you, but I do.
Yeah, I definitely do.
You want $20? I'll leave it here. Leave. You come pick it up, and then I'll come back. Here we go.
Hug a hurting person.
I'm going to change it. Hug the man.
Really?
Big and beefy. Give him a hug, Ski.
No, I'm joyful. Don't hug me. Yeah. I feel like a good pat on the back does a lot of wonders.
As long as you rub for an extra long time.
No, what no circular motion. No, we've talked about
3 second past comfort.
We have talked about this, this on many occasions.
Move up to the bottom of the hairline and tickle a bit.
And then walk away.
Wow, you have a really strong neck.
The value in that statement, though, is that there are people who just do things that are mean. And sometimes you think, what is wrong with them? Or I don't like them, blah, blah, blah. Really, if you remember, they're probably hurting is why they did that. It's kind of helpful for you. And maybe there's something you can do to serve them.
Yeah, most,
you know, honestly,
there's we're kind of foolish. Everything we do has a reason, but not everything other people do has a reason. We don't look at other people and say that guy's acting that way for something. Yeah. Like there's something going on that he says either he makes terrible decisions and wishes he didn't, or he's misguided to believe that the things he's doing are fine. But there's reasons behind why people do things, and sometimes we're just like, oh, that guy's just evil.
Yeah,
he's just an evil man.
He's a born jerk. Just playing his role.
I rubbed his back for 5 seconds, and he still doesn't love me.
He actually attacked me for it.
Yeah. Crunchy.
Here we go. Let's see. Let your soul shine. Be authentic. There's nobody else on the earth just like you. Step into your truth wholeheartedly and live and breathe your purpose.
Shoot.
How do you not do that?
Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
Yeah, even your fakery is a reflection of your own personality. You're willing to be fake.
Yeah, that's true. It's just another definition of you.
Everybody's authentic.
Yeah, I'm authentically phony.
The only place you got to be careful is where you use that as an excuse to do whatever you want. You know,
no,
I've stepped into myself, so I'm just being me. I'm just doing me.
Like the real me is a murderer. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not what we're going for. Yeah.
Just people being people.
I'm here to randomly headbutt people on the streets. This is part of my being.
That's my thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Samson thing from birth. You know what I'm saying? I just headbutt dudes.
That's how I say hello.
I just run them, morning.
I feel like you don't get me. I'm tired of being discriminated against for my headbutting ways.
Do you want
to hug
now?
That's how they know that I love them.
Exactly.
Learn the delicate dance. Have big, beautiful dreams and vision. Chase them with much passion, but also hold on to them ever so lightly. Be flexible and willing to flow as life comes at you. I can't take this flowery language.
Yeah.
I don't operate on what he's saying. Like that's like reading those inspirational posters. I'm like, I don't know.
I get the principle of it, but yeah, he needs
grow
to
grow as a delicate flower.
I can't follow it. It makes me want to play tennis, and that's all I got from it.
And then tennis elbow.
Maybe quit halfway in because I was being a phony.
No.
Let's see.
I got headbutt.
Oh, no. Here it goes. It says, here we go. Sometimes we outgrow friendships. Doesn't mean they're bad or you're bad. It just means you're on different paths. Hold them in your heart. But when they start to hurt or hold you back, it's time to give space or let go.
Oh, I was close until he hit the last point.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, sometimes you grow up. I mean, I get it. You diverge, but, like, you write people off because they hurt you.
That's lame.
Yeah.
That's lame.
You stink as a friend. Yeah. You're a crappy friend indeed.
Hey, when you stop serving me as my friend, I let you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've known you for years, but you have one arm, and you can't be in our band anymore. Love, Def Leppard. You know what I'm saying? That's terrible. You know what I'm saying? What kind of friend is that? Here we go. Let those that you love know it often and enthusiastically. You can never say it or show it too much. Your time, love, genuine concern for their wellness is the greatest gift of all. Does that include that circular back rub like you're talking about?
You bet.
Because I feel love from you right now without that, and no reason to keep it up.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Here we go. We are all connected as one human family. Nobody is better or worse than anyone else, just at different stages of journeys and dealing with life the best way we know how.
The last thing is probably true, but I mean, I don't know.
Depends on what they mean by better. There are some with more talent than others, you know, and more skills in different areas. I mean, they're just skilled in different things.
I mean, I feel like me versus the guy on death row, I've had more success in life.
I've had more success at not killing people.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, he may have a lot more success at murder.
Yeah, I suppose, it depends what your standard, right? You got to choose better. Actually, he must stink it. He got caught.
No, that's true. He's not good at evasion.
Nobody's caught.
You're really
me
good yet. At the act, but when it comes to follow through, you're awful.
Better's relative, right? That's the problem. It's like, it depends on what you're talking about.
No, agreed. Last one here. You are the guru. For much of our lives, we have been told what to do, how to think, what looks good, what success is. You don't have to buy into any of it. Feel free to peel back the layers. Think for yourself. Break the mold. When you stop doing what everyone else wants you to do and start following your own intuition, you will be ridiculously happy.
Switch out your intuition with God. We're good.
Here's the deal.
What if you have bad intuition?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I have bad intuition, right? I think I've had... You should have seen the Christmas presents I've got my wife past three years. I mean, they're terrible. Screwdriver set? What was I thinking? I'm like, hey, what if you get break down on the side of the road? It'd be handy to have the screwdriver set. I'm going to call you, you dummy. Oh, yeah, right on, right?
I already have screwdrivers.
That's what my intuition brings me. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah, because you're the guru.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
I'm
the guru.
Woman, I know what's best. Look at me.
I'm the guru of fast food, man. I'm 400 pounds right now. Discernment and intuition have not served me well. So I think I need to follow something else. Maybe God. There we go. And then I'll be much better.
Or at least what they say on the show.
Yeah. You know,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
I follow Live for the Path.
That's a mistake. Yeah.
I know.
That's pretty much the gist of it. It's decent. There's some words of wisdom in there. They all have to be characterized to the point is if you are, it goes back to the joy thing for me, right? Like if you trust yourself to produce your own joy, you will produce joy that is as big as you, right? If you trust God to produce your joy, you will get joy as big as God, and it's much bigger than you, right? And so like I'm not even saying this from a self-defeating area. I'm just saying, like, if the end game is relationship with God and lots of joy in your life to live it in the way that God has designed for you, only He knows that design, right? And you just have to ask Him, and He'll follow what He has laid out, and I promise you it's just for your joy. It's not for any other reason but to bring you joy and Him glory. So that's it. That 37, things to live by. I probably only read about 15 of them, but that's the gist. There's a lot of love, stuff in there. Enthusiastic love.
I mean, do they talk about back rubbing?
It wasn't anything. It says, hold on. It was 23. Do not back rub people.
Shoot.
Everybody hates it. It feels uncomfortable.
Well, that's definitely, we've got to disagree with that.
Yeah, right? No, everybody loves back rub. That's a falsehood.
Here's the deal. Me and Akers were talking before the show about the prodigal son story, about when he comes in and the father puts the hand on the back of the boy and he says, welcome.
Robe and hands.
Extended rub.
No, see, you've taken that story and you fit it into what you want.
That's what we do here.
Hey, you pulled what I call an Akers. you're listening Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. I don't know. What's we got, Ben?
It's about time. It's getting that time of night, man.
I tell you what, you want to do one more, Abby?
Let's do it.
Dear Life from the Path,
and we'll let Chris send us away.
Okay, hang on a minute. I wasn't really prepared. I was just throwing ideas out. You might want
to
sidetrack.
Did you say, I don't know, in a way to move on to the next portion of our show?
No.
Because I felt like I heard I don't know. And then that's what you were trying to get to the next portion.
Uh-uh.
You're going to deny that entirely?
I didn't do it.
So we should talk more about back rubs. I think they're perfectly acceptable.
I got this straightened up. Thanks for that.
Cool beans.
Dear Life from the Path, my daughter, who recently turned 21, sent me a 2-word text message. I'm pregnant. She has been dating. Oh, boy. Here it comes. She has been dating a marijuana-smoking young man for less than a year. Excuse me. And I'm disappointed by this outcome. Her sister, who is a year older, already has 2 children by 2 men. No, they weren't raised by a harlot. I adopted them when they were early elementary age children. It's not my fault.
Oh,
holy, what is going on here? This has gone from slightly comical to very depressing. I'm disgusted by their choices. I haven't talked with her yet. I won't try to lecture her or tell her how she should live her life. The time for that is over. I feel it would be best to say nothing if I can't be positive. Suggestions. Dang, I thought it was really lighthearted with the first couple lines. I thought it was like a social faux pas. Hey, I texted I'm pregnant. Is that wrong? And then it got terrible really fast. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Mike.
I think she's already laid the foundation. She's poured her life and her years into raising her children. Now it's up to them to make their choices. And she needs to love them and support them and interject as much Jesus in there as possible. And, give some grace, but hopefully also some repentance in there. But I don't know. That doesn't sound like there's some repentance going on. But,
The decisions are already made. I mean, the stuff has already happened. There's nothing she's going to do to change the fact that her eldest has 2 kids from 2 different dads, and then her youngest has a child on the way from a marijuana smoker.
He's a young man.
Young man. So the best thing she can do right now is make sure that she is a loving parent that is caring for these people. And
is she from Washington? Is it legal?
Why? Hey, I don't think that matters.
In fact legal there.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Or Colorado.
Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, why are you keeping track of what states are legal, Akers?
Just
happy to come
my home.
Yeah, that's how I live.
Yeah. He's a culturally relevant man.
I feel like I don't agree with you guys at all. Like, there's some language in here that is just, it's not my fault. I'm disappointed.
Right.
I adopted them. Don't blame me. I'm not a harlot. Like, I just, I don't, this doesn't feel like.
She's hurting.
This doesn't feel like loving language at all.
It's not.
You know what I'm saying? And your, and like, your approach to, like, hands off, the damage done, like, I just don't feel that way. Nope. Like, I double down, invest. I don't know. I feel like backing off and be like, hey, it's your deal. Like, that just don't feel right at all.
Especially for the kids. You know, the kid, the grandkids, they're the ones that suffer in that.
Yeah.
If you completely back off, then they say, oh, because of what my parents did, you know, they start to take that on themselves, and they live their whole life that way, you know?
Yeah.
If it seemed like I was saying that she needs to back off in any way, that's not what I was trying to say at
all.
The
first sentence you said was that she needs to back off, and it's, the decision is done.
That, no, that's not what I said at all.
Ben?
But
back off on the judgmental.
What I didn't even say that, but yes, she does need to back off the judgmental portion. But what she needs to do is you're right, she needs to double down and invest the fact that these are kids. She needs to love on the kids, which is what I said the first time, just saying. Completely be there for them as a parent. She's trying to check out, saying, I no longer have to deal with them. The time has passed for me to try and tell them how to live or anything like that. That's not true at all. You can still, as a parent or as someone
who's
wiser,
guide.
Or any way, shape, or form, come to them and say, hey, you know, here's my thoughts on the decisions you've made. They're probably not the best, but they happen, and here's how we're going to get through them. And I love you as your parent. I may be disappointed if that even needs to be said, but she needs to love on them and continue.
I'm sure that's going to go over well. Oh, how you doing? Anyway, I may be disappointed. But here's some other things I want to talk about.
That's what I'm saying, if that even needs to be said. I think
as long
that's
as
given.
I laid the foundation of disappointment, we can build on that.
Right. So
we
I want you to know before we, move into,
as well.
Before we move into the whole I love you thing, I want you to know that I'm thoroughly disappointed with you. No, she needs
to be honest there. Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to make sure that she's loving these kids and not just checking out because they've made bad decisions. That's stupidity as a parent.
Well, even who cares that I'm disappointed? Okay, I'm going from, let's say it's me. I'm the father and it's my daughter. It doesn't matter if I'm disappointed. I am irrelevant. Let's talk about your relationship with Jesus. Let's talk about what got you here. Let's talk about how you can heal that. Because 10,000 years from today, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if I'm upset with you or I'm proud of you or disappointed, whatever. It's irrelevant. You need to get right with Jesus, and that'd be my whole focus right there.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, do you walk in and trying to spike the moment?
Right.
Or trying to follow up the life that exists after. Now, I think to a certain extent, obviously, I don't know. I feel like I'm with Mike a little bit. I feel like she's bailing. I hesitate to believe that everything must have been fine. Both kids just happened to go off the rails with the same problems.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. That might be a little too presumptuous against the children's decisions and where the mother. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't speak to that any further. But just like the assumption is that the kids went off the rails and that the mother did a bang up job. And that she's rightfully saying that I'm not a harlot. That's a weird thing to say, right?
She's trying to protect her own reputation.
Yeah, that's sad.
I did not raise them to do this.
Yeah, here's the deal. You can't help people like that. Like, you can't help people from that approach. Like, you can't help people putting up 100% of protection of yourself. It just can't be done. Like, you can help people cautiously and guardedly if it's a different kind of situation. But, like, if the number one goal of your helping is to protect you, it'd almost be better if you stayed out of it, because I mean, it takes a little bit of vulnerability and openness to be able to help anybody in anything, you know. And so, like, if you're guarding your reputation that closely, especially with your own kids, I mean, I'd hope that if my kids were in a situation that I could help with, I mean, I'm King David style. I'll make a fool out of myself if I think it will help my children in a way that will further their lives. With their relationship with Christ, or get their life turned back in an area where it needs to be. I mean, I just feel like that's a priority, and so, you know, whatever that takes. And so, I guess I'm not trying to be ultimately harsh on the mom. I get it; she is hurting. It is some stuff to deal with. But, like, in perspective, they're still your kids, and you know, I feel like the defense language needs to leave.
Oh yeah, yeah. What we don't know is they were both adopted in grade school.
Yeah,
we have. There's a lot of foundational things that happened in their life that we don't know about.
Absolutely.
That mom doesn't know about.
Absolutely.
And that's probably what's coming out right now.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, secular advice. Secular advice was: it would be better if you said nothing to your daughter while you are angry, or you may say something you will regret. It would not be out of line, however, to text her back and ask, how do you and
John planned to support the baby. If you don't plan to help her in any way, you should let her know now that she'll be on her own.
How do you and John plan to support the baby? I don't plan to help you in any way. Go.
The most militant way to answer that.
Love,
hey,
Mom.
I'm pregnant. How are you going to deal with this, kid?
Yeah.
Can he sell those drugs?
Yeah, that's that might not be the way to live. Dang, that
you
one
want
was
a back rub?
I'm sorry about that. I was going for lighthearted, and I biffed it. I thought it was a social faux pas of I'm pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Bummer.
I think that's all right. All right. You listen to Live from the Path. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us tonight. I want to send you away with the final one from Chris Akers. Mike, what's on the – what do we got? Weight of Hope?
Yeah, we'll do that one.
Well, did you have a better idea?
Well, that one's kind of a down or slow one, so I was thinking let's do a high
– Yeah, you better. I tanked it with that advice stuff.
Here's let's do Today Forever. This is a song about a day that compassion won out in my job situation when I was frustrated with a coworker, and the Lord took over, and I loved instead. So,
is there any chance we could sing along with this one?
You could try. It gets pretty high.
Dang it. We're out. Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead.
So anyway, I'm going to give it a shot.
This one is on the website, too. So, behold the old affliction, cracked and cast away. The perfect takes the criminal's place. The words in search of meaning have taken up their claim. The victims and the prisoners sing. Today compassion won out. Today you tore the curtain down. I was a wretched work of treason in my heart and in my mouth. Today forever has come. The Father celebrates the Son. You turned my doubt into belief. You move this withered heart to sing of living. Behold the accusations, crucified with grace. Yeah, the perfect takes the criminal's place. The word from the beginning has overcome the grave. Oh, it has no claim, it has no claim. Today compassion won out. Today you tore the curtain down. I was a wretched work of treason in my heart and in my mouth. Today forever has come. The Father celebrates the Son. You turned my doubt into belief. You move this withered heart to sing of living. It's the slow part, guys. That's where we slow it down. Yeah. 'Cause we're singing today. Forever sealed by your grace, forever. Let's sing it all. Today, compassion won out. Today, you tore the curtain down. I was a wretched work of treason in my heart and in my mouth. Today forever has come. The Father celebrates His Son. You turn my doubt into belief. You move this withered heart to sing of living. There it is. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A big thank you to Chris Akers for coming on Live from the Path. Thanks a lot, man.
So good. Thank you so much for having
me. Sounded great. You guys, yeah. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.